Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Today at 7 o'clock, the 2011 World Champion St. Louis Cardinals. What? They didn't win last time, did they?
Stan Musial had a good year.
We'll deliver the first pitch of Major League, baseball 2012 season to the revamped Miami Marlins. Who? In the first game of the season to be played on U.S. soil. America's pastime has returned, and for many of us, including the majority of the WMC newsroom, the return of baseball merely means an escalation in trash-talking, stat-slinging, and team pride. Today we're talking baseball, and we want your analysis on who is poised to appear in and win the 2012 Fall Classic. Are the Yankees imperialists? Do they buy everything they've got? Joining me in the studio today are two of our newsroom elite and two lifelong baseball fans, Mr. Ray Graff and Mr. Ian Pickus. Ray and Ian, welcome back to the Vox Pop.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for having us. Baseball. I know it's funny, but it's also fun.
It's funny,
baseball
but it's
season.
True. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, and we're here. We want to hear from you. You know, I have this theory. I wrote it in my column, The Berkshire Eagle, that for this coming week, that baseball is sort of like religion. Yeah, you sort of start with a clean slate.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that every year, hope springs eternal. You know, even if you're your team are the Schlemiels, otherwise known as the Mets,
then
you think somehow on the first day you got a shot.
Right.
By the third day, no shot. None. You're a Mets fan, right?
Right. It's also like religion, at least the Catholic religion, because at the end, when you die, the end of the season, you also have a clean slate. So it works out really well.
I'm not theological enough. Could you sort of go further?
In other words, you know, your sins at the end
will be expiated.
Exactly. And at the end of the season, when the Mets have lost it all and have been eliminated by May and the season's finally over, the World Series is done, it's a clean slate again.
But don't you think that there's a possibility of the existence of something greater than we are?
Yes.
That twice in history that I can remember, maybe three times, the Mets, who had no chance, rose all the way to the top. They rose again.
Yeah. Very nice.
What?
No, not perfect timing for this.
Yeah.
It's great.
So there is that. So what do you think out there? Do you think baseball's all a fix? Do you think that the Yankees should not be permitted to buy? I mean, the word Yankee, there's a reason they call it Yankees.
Why?
Well, you know, Yankee go home and like that. You know.
And home and run up the score.
Oh.
Right. Now, Ian Pickus, you're a big Yankee fan. How could you?
How could I?
Yeah.
It's all a matter of geography. I grew up in this area where the AA Yankees made their home.
Hmm.
And then I came of age as they started really winning year in and year out, and it was cemented. Although I have to say, I've been to a lot of Met games in my life. If I had to see the Mets do well or do poorly, I would want them to do well.
But you're a nationalist, in other words. In other words, you're saying, you know, my side, my country, right or wrong. The Bronx, right or wrong. I grew up in New York, right or wrong. You know.
And there's a lot of wrong. There really is. How they knocked down the old stadium. How they paid.
That was terrible.
Gary Sheffield, $39 million over 3 years.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wrong.
Yeah.
What
well,
about, you know, Ken Phelps.
There's a lot of right, though, too.
What's right?
Oh, they've had this core player, Jeter, Rivera, Pettit, Posada, before his retirement, who came up homegrown and were stars and stayed with the same team for 15 years. That part I love.
If you could be one baseball player, I mean, if you could be, you know, like in Damn Yankees, if you could be magically installed.
And
in
I would make
else,
that deal with Applegate, I would.
In somebody's skin. Who would it be?
Easy question. Derek Jeter, circa 1999.
Uh-huh.
I would live that life. I would.
Yeah.
Happily.
What do you think about Derek Jeter? Do you think he's making any mistakes himself right now?
In what way?
Well, he threw over Minka.
Oh.
He does not hurt for the ladies. I don't think he's ever rued that decision. Although, I guess they're getting back together. They were seen in Paris. So
oh, thank God.
No. This morning, she's with somebody else. Some heartthrob from... some television show.
I thought you were going to say public radio station.
Hold it. 1-800-348-2551. Why, Alan, would you even know this?
I know everything.
You know who Derek Jeter's ex is dating?
I've got the POSD.
It's right up there.
The Daily News.
Oh, that's the wrong
thing. Yeah, I've got to get the sixth page.
Okay, so I need to hear from you folks. What do you think about baseball? Do you think it's a simile for our economic system? Do you enjoy it? There are those people like my father who would just sit there and watch it, and he would smile, especially when the Mets were playing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Marvelous Marv Thronberry.
Sure, Dr. Strange Glove.
And Kid Crane Pool and all the rest of it. It would go through there. I was talking to Congressman Chris Gibson this morning. He is a repository of baseball trivia.
Really?
And a Met fan.
And a Mets fan.
And he knows more about... He knows. Now, you'd think a Republican conservative would be a Yankees fan.
Well, why?
Well, because that's the way they are.
I see.
1-800-348-2551. Where are you? What's the matter with you people? There are three of us.
Well, they're probably enthralled by this conversation.
Okay. So today the Mets are playing the Yankees.
This is the last pregame,
right?
Right.
And now how important are those pregames?
Not that. But today is big because Andy Pettitte, 78-year-old Yankees left-hander, will be throwing his first inning since coming out of retirement.
But how old is Andy Pettitte, really?
39.
Right.
That's old, right, in the game?
That's old for baseball.
Yeah.
Considering he didn't pitch last year, right?
He took a whole year off.
Yeah.
Which some people say that could help you or hurt you. I don't know. Clemens came back at 45, and he was not the same pitcher.
No, and he was on steroids.
Right. So 39 is pretty old. However, Jamie Moyer has come back from Tommy John surgery and made the Colorado Rockies rotation at, I believe, age 49.
49. And this
makes me happy. His fastball is 49 miles an hour.
This makes me happy because he's the only one in the major leagues who's older than I am, which is
great. There's a flash. We got a call. But wait. I want to, because, you know, the public radio audience doesn't deal with
that. No, they love baseball. No, you know, every time we've done a baseball show, you know, up to now, they've enjoyed the baseball. And they've called in. Up to now.
1-800-348-2551.
As we saw with the Red Sox, all streaks must end.
1-800-348-2551. And speaking of the Red Sox, I'd like to offer a thesis.
Okay.
My thesis is this. The worst thing that ever happened to the Red Sox, and it would be the worst thing that could happen to the Cubbies, was that they won.
Completely agree with you. You should see how miserable it makes the Red Sox fans in our newsroom, namely David Gustina.
Yeah.
That
and me.
When they are good, he can't stand it. He wants them to lose.
No, we've been put on earth to suffer.
No, we have not, sir.
I think so. Mario Cuomo once said to me, "Shattuck, do you think there's such a thing as hell?" I said, "Of course there's a hell." He said, "Where is it?" I said, "Right here, Governor." He said, maybe so. Maybe
I thought hell was other people.
Hell was other people? Okay.
Well, so, 1-800-348-2551.
Wait. You don't have to say that because Margaret from Kingston is on. Okay, Margaret from Kingston, I'll bet you hate baseball.
I hate baseball so much, I can't tell you. All they do is spit and grab themselves.
Right.
They don't do that.
Spit and grab themselves?
They don't do that. They're always grabbing themselves, and they spit. They spit, constantly spit. You think they would turn the camera away, but they don't. And it's awful. They don't spit in tennis. They don't spit in football. They don't spit in basketball.
True.
They spit.
They spit in radio news, I'll tell you that.
Well, is that true, guys? In other words, because, you know much
more
about
baseball. There's a whole lot of spitting going on, yeah.
I grew up with Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris, Yogi Berra, Whitey Ford.
Want to know the best thing that Mickey Mantle ever said, Margaret?
What?
Somebody said to him, and they say this to me every once in a while, Mickey, what will happen when you can't play center field anymore? And you know what he said?
What?
They'll find someone else.
That's right.
And you know what?
Cemeteries are filled with indispensable people.
Right. And you know what? They did.
I don't care.
Joe Pepitone.
Or Bobby Mercer.
They spit.
They do spit.
Spit. I can't watch it.
Now about the other thing, the grabbing themselves.
All right, here we go.
What is that about?
I have no idea.
I don't think we've engineered a way to get their protective cupping in the right position.
I don't know, but it's very offensive to watch this.
You're offended by that?
I'm offended by that.
No, wait.
I am.
Why, Margaret? Why are you so offended? What's with you? Are you a prude? I mean, what's the deal?
All right, now. You know what? Margaret, thank you very much. We appreciate your call very much.
I know. I don't know.
Thank you. Thank you.
Margaret, you're terrific. Thank you very much.
Oh, boy. Ouch.
1-800-348-2551. Mark from South Cairo. Over there in Cairo with the camels and the mummies and everything, they really play ball over there. Okay, Mark, you're on.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that not every male in this society is in love with sports.
Right.
I have a pretty healthy dislike for sports. And when you grow up in this culture, in this society, in a gene pool with no athletic ability, the stuff you have to go through. But I got my day on February 9th, 1964, when the Beatles showed up. I'm a frailer, Alan, and I've worked...
Frailer,
What's a frailer?
A frailer is a style of banjo.
I say long live Uncle Dave Macon. He is my God, and he and people like Charlie Patton and Leadbelly. And not everybody's in love with sports, and I just don't understand any of it. So I
want to know, Mark, you want to know my favorite film, my favorite song is the Peter, Paul, and Mary, Right Field, about the poor kid. You know, like I was always chosen ninth if there was a ninth position, and they always had me play right field.
Well, then you have great empathy for my plight.
Oh,
and
indeed.
I will look that song up, Alan. Thank you very
right
much.
Field.
I don't want to spoil it for you, but it's a good ending for him.
What is a good ending for him?
You know, he looks up and the ball lands
in his mid. Except that in my case, it never landed in my mid.
Well,
I always saw it as an atom bomb coming out of the sky and
right.
to
run
fall
away,
on my head.
Run away. Yeah, that's right.
That's what I always saw. Okay, thanks.
I can relate to that. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Thanks, Mark.
You know, some people who like music also like sports.
Yeah,
I know, musicians like sports and, you know.
Skinny guys, fat guys, everybody likes.
You don't have to play it
in
to
between,
like it.
Yeah. In between,
we're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Support for Vox Pop comes from Curtis Lumber, serving their communities for over 100 years, providing lumber, building materials, doors, windows, paint, and more for 22 locations in New York and Northern Vermont. CurtisLumber.com. David Stein and Charles Padula, DDS, Union Avenue, Schenectady, providing minimally invasive dentistry to families in the Capital District since 1986. DavidSteinDDS.com. Dam Cafe and Deli, Saugerties, New York, serving breakfast and lunch with chef-created soups, salads, vegetarian options, and homemade desserts. Catering services available, 845-247-0050. Schenectady Museum and Planetarium, presenting school break activities and planetarium shows Monday, April 9th through Friday, April 13th. SchenectadyMuseum.org for more information. And SUNY New Paltz, presenting a benefit concert and reception with pianist and conductor Vladimir Feltzman in honor of the inauguration of the college's 8th president, Dr. Donald P. Christian, Saturday, April 14th, 4 p.m., newpaltz.edu/inauguration.
And we are back with the fabulous duo of Ray Graff, a wonderful sports guy, and his compadre Ian Pickus. They're here to tell you the whole deal, and that's what they do so well. And they're great. All five phones are ringing, so don't try it until somebody gets off.
Okay.
Let's go to Bert in Kingston. Bert, you're on.
How you doing, guys? I'm glad to be on with you guys.
Good.
I just want to say how much I do love the game, and I'm glad it's back. And at first, Alan, I thought you made a mistake saying that the season was starting today, because, as you said un-American soil, so you corrected yourself.
Right.
If the season ended today, by the way, Oakland and Seattle would go home and splitting the World Series trophy. But anyway, I'm glad it's back. And for all you Yankee haters, basically everybody can do the same thing. So the Yankees are just doing something that they are able to do as far as buying and spending the money.
Well, what if you didn't have the money, Bert? I want to take
great exceptions. Then you don't have any business having a team. Bottom line, the Wilpons.
You know who these people.
And as has been shown, it really doesn't matter, because teams that haven't had the money have been able to win by using good drafts and by selecting the players.
No question. But the NFL has it better. The NFL is far fairer, aren't they, guys, than the baseball in terms of splitting the proceeds from the TV,
The TV is much more lucrative, though, NFL.
But it's fair. So that some people don't get ahead of the game. I think Bert may be fooling himself here. maybe creating, you know, this business about he's. You know what you are, Bert?
Oh boy,
are you ready?
I'm a Yankee fan.
You're
I'm a Yankee fan.
And you know what another name? You know what another name for a Yankee fan is?
Here we go.
What is that, Alex?
The one percenters.
Oh, boy. Well, good luck, Bert. I think you guys are going to have a good year this year. Ian's sharing your zeal for the Yankees. I'm a Mets fan. Mets will be eliminated by tomorrow afternoon.
Hey, if you can't win, buy it. Thanks, Bert. Hey,
well,
appreciate it.
1-800-348-2551.
It's time for Mike. Okay, Mike, you're on. You're on,
How
Mike.
You doing there?
We're
Ray
good.
And... Ray and Alan and Ian?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so here's the thing. One, you probably shouldn't have called a woman a perd. But I don't know, you know, I think these guys
were in
jock straps. You called that other woman a prud.
We did not. Go ahead.
You may have questioned her prudity.
Yeah.
Oh, her prudishness. Okay. That was my minor point. The other thing I'd like to say is I live in Palmer, Massachusetts, but I'm from Boston. I'm from Hyde Park. I'm a diehard Red Sox fan, but you know what? I'm not a fanatic. I can live or die. I don't have to live or die by whether the Yankees win or the Red Sox win. We have the Celtics, we have the Bruins, they're great teams. And I respect the Yankees for everything they've done with their organization. And, you know, and even though some people can get a little extreme, you have to respect other teams' abilities.
Well, you know what? We're talking sports here. Sports right here on WAM. Say, we're talking it with Ray Graff and Ian Pickus and Big Al Shartok. And here's what I have to tell you. My son, Jonas,
okay.
Mike, he's not a fanatic, a Red Sox fanatic. He goes into a city, New Orleans or wherever he's living, and he finds out which bar is the Red Sox bar.
Yeah.
And that's where he goes.
He could just get the Major League Baseball package.
But I don't do that. I mean, I can watch any team win or lose and root for who seems the underdog or root for who's doing better.
What do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living? Well, I used to work for the Home Depot and design kitchens. I've done a lot of things over the course of my life.
I thought you were going to tell us you were an accountant.
I'm a jack of all trades. I'm a master of none.
You're a good man, Mike. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Mike. Another Mike. Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
In Shokan. Mike in Shokan. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon.
Hey.
I just wanted to wonder if you guys could talk about the pricing of seats. I'm an
right.
electrician. My wife's been a nurse, and we make a good living. I'm a Yankee fan by default. My father's from the South Bronx, so we would love to go see a game. And every time we call and try to get tickets, they're astronomically expensive.
Well, you're out of luck, Mike, because you like a team that's good. If you're a Mets fan, you go to StubHub, you get a ticket well under face value, and you can see all the games you want. The trick is to like a team that stinks.
Okay, so maybe I should talk to my father about switching teams.
That's right. There's plenty
all
of room
right, well,
at Citi Field for you.
What's it called, StubHub?
StubHub is
StubHub.
A place.
StubHub.
And so, in other words, if I want to go to a Mets game, and I've been boycotting. I boycotted last year because the owners, I think, have to go, and I'm boycotting this year. But if I decide I want to go, I will not call the Mets and get tickets. I will wait until a day before the game or the day of the game, get the tickets, because people can't give them away.
Well, where do they get them from, StubHub?
They have, you know, season ticket holders or whatever. They get rid of their tickets that way.
Interesting.
Right.
Interesting.
Thank you for the information. That's
and how much does a seat? And for just
I haven't
Mike
bought one in a couple of years.
But do we have Ian? Do we have any idea what a seat in the Yankee game goes?
Well,
is it more than the Metropolitan Opera, which is very expensive?
Yeah, where I sit in the bleacher section, which is this year $22 But the empty seats that they can't fill, they originally priced at $2,400. A game,
right?
No,
and cut them
no.
to $1,200 a game,
no.
and they're completely empty.
Yeah.
$1,200 a game.
But remember,
yes.
the stadium was built and the pricing structure was built before everything fell apart
in
the markets.
Class.
In other words, back in the day, Wall Streeters or business people would do that. They'd fill those seats. Now, you know.
Well, can you sneak down from the, like. The
and that's
up?
What's terrible. You can't. They
Why
used
not?
To let you. You go to an Expos game 10 years ago.
Sure.
You sit wherever you want. Now, not only do they not sell the seats, but they have security blocking you from moving down. Even before the game, it's a travesty.
Ian, I feel for you. I really do. Let's go to Debbie in Malta. Okay, Debbie,
Hi.
You're on.
Hi, Hi, you guys are so fantastic, and this is a dream come true. I'd always hoped that WAMC, the only station I listen to, would have more sports, and I do listen to only a game, of course, but this is fabulous. So I got to tell you real quick, I grew up in St. Louis where you either love baseball or you get out of town.
Yeah.
So that's where I come from.
Did you live in University City in St. Louis?
I went to Washington University, so I was out there 5 years.
Yeah, that's where my brother is. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
It's fabulous. I was in North St. Louis. I grew up in the poor side of town.
Now, when were you there? Were you there in the 70s?
Oh, gosh, yes. I was there in the 60s as well. I watched Timmy McCarver. And
Joe Torre, who used to torment my poor Mets every game.
And that was before he managed them.
I go way back to Bill Grote and Julian Javier, Curt Flood.
Flood, one of the greatest names in all but organized sports ever.
Oh, it was fantastic.
First free agent, right?
It was great. Yeah. And Ken Boyer, I took ballet lessons with Ken Boyer's daughter.
You're kidding me.
No. Oh,
that's wild.
She was good. I wasn't. She was really good.
Well, the athletics, you know, they go in the family.
Yeah. Hey, I never thought of that.
Okay. So what do you got a question to Debbie?
Yes, I do. My question is, do you have a prediction as to how well the Cardinals are going to do without Albert and with a new manager?
Whoa.
It's a good question. Yeah. From what I read the other day, they have not missed a beat in spring training as far as the organization, the way they go about things. Of course, you're going to miss having the best offensive player in the world in that lineup. But last year, they came out of nowhere to win the World Series.
Who's the best offensive player in the world?
Albert Pujols has left and gone to the Angels. So I think the Cardinals, that's still a winnable division by all means.
Yeah, whether they go all the way is another story. But, they have some bats and they have some pitching and they always play the game right.
Now, what about them Dodgers? You got a whole bunch of new people buying the Dodgers. What about them Dodgers?
Oh, I hope that circus gets out of town or cleans it up.
What do you think, Ray, them Dodgers?
Well, they got to move back to Brooklyn before I follow them.
We have a long memory.
I'll hang up then, but I got to tell you, my worst fear is that the Cardinals would play the Yankees because I'm a real, real serious Yankees fan.
Happened once before, 1964.
I know. Yeah, 64 we won, and I hear about it all the time at home.
Mel Stottlemyre still hasn't recovered.
Well, by the way, before you go, here's the starting lineup for the Cardinals tonight, right? It's tonight, isn't it?
Tonight.
Rafael Furcal, good player at shortstop. Carlos Beltran, ex-Met in right. You got Holiday in left field. You got Berkman at first. Freeze at third base. Molina catching. Jay in center field. They got a decent team. Kyle Loesch is pretty good.
A lot of all-stars in that lineup.
That does not sound bad at all. Okay, I feel even better.
Good.
Good luck to you, Debbie. And I love the fact that you are a woman and that you called.
I love you.
Because there's too much stereotyping.
All right, thanks a lot, Debbie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551. Two free phones, three blinking off the hook. Let's go to John in Kingston. John in Kingston, what do you say?
Hey, John. Well, I think St. Louis will be fine. She shouldn't worry. I'm a Yankee fan, and I just wanted to tell you, Alan, that baseball saw these teams spending a lot of money a few years ago, and they injected the luxury tax. And I just wanted to tell you, in 2008, the Marlins owner was given $80 million of luxury tax money to buy some players and spend it on his team to play with the big boys. He put it in his pocket because they don't have to spend it on players. So I have no sympathy for teams that don't want to spend money.
I have something to say about that, John.
Okay.
I think that's wrong when they put it in their pockets. They should spend it, and you should make the rules that they have to spend it. That's my view.
And I just wanted to add that, it's no coincidence that Philadelphia, who has lost more games than anyone, they spent $100 million on their first baseman, Howard. When they started spending money, and when the Red Sox did, they started winning World Series, and the revenue started coming in because, gentlemen, this is a business. I'm sorry, but it is.
Business.
And the Philadelphia's doing great now. It's a great organization. They're selling shirts. They're selling hats. The stadium is packed. Same in Boston. The Mets have had their problems, but they'll be back. That's still a very that franchise is worth a lot of money. I think it's third or fourth.
Yeah.
And New Yorkers will always come out for a winner.
Wait a second. What do you mean third or fourth, guys?
In value.
Of course, value.
In other words, the Dodgers just went for an exorbitant amount, $2 billion.
Yeah. Right.
$2 billion.
And I don't think I don't think any baseball or sports organization is worth $2 billion. They overpaid for that team, in my estimation.
And who's running that? Who bought that?
Magic Johnson.
Well, a group that he sort of is the spokesman for.
Yeah. Did he ever play baseball?
Magic Johnson?
Didn't he once try
Jordan.
Jordan played minor league ball.
The other MJ.
He could not hit the curveball, which is, goes to show you how tough it is to hit the curveball.
Oh, the curveball. Hey, John, thanks for calling. Great call.
Okay, take care.
Let's go to John, another John in Hudson. John in Hudson.
Hello.
Go.
Hello, Ray, Ian, and Big Al.
Hey.
Oh, they're calling him Big Al now. Yeah,
that'll catch on.
Right, of course. It's a sports show, you know?
Yeah, Big Al.
I've got a statement, and I've got a prediction.
Uh-oh.
Now, I got a statement. I'm a baseball purist, and I root for two teams and only two teams only.
Okay.
The New York Mets and anybody that plays the Yankees.
All right, my friend.
All right, I like it.
Here's my prediction.
Just the New York Mets. Greet the Mets.
The New York Mets will be in first place on Saturday.
All right, I'll take it. I'll take that.
That's okay. Good.
Okay.
That's it. Thanks.
Hey, thanks
you
a
got
lot.
Johan Santana. You got a chance.
There you go. Okay.
Well, hope springs eternal.
1-800-348-2551. There's one free phone. Everybody else is on the phone. We're all meeting the Mets and greeting the Mets. And step right up and what the Mets.
And whatever. The Mets indeed.
You kind of have to meet them this year because you don't know their names.
Tim from Gilderland, you're on.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear your panel's response to this. I used to live in Chicago, and it gradually dawned on me that the Cubs weren't even trying to win.
Exactly. They understand their karma, which is that they would tick off their people if they won. They are an experiment in constant and perpetual suffering.
And the thing is like they call them the lovable Cubbies in Chicago, and they fill Wrigley Field. But the history of the team, from the Tribune Company to I forget who owns the Wrigleys and whoever owns them now, I don't even know. But the reaction or your response that I'm looking here is that I don't think the Mets are trying to win, and I think they when they signed Santana, if they had made one more signing,
yes, you're absolutely right.
One more signing in addition to Santana, they at least would have been a playoff team.
Well, let's give them a little bit of credit. They were one game away from going to the World Series.
Beltran took a called strike three with runners in scoring position. So,
that's the kind of stuff. When you guys talk baseball that way, it just makes me happy.
Well, you know what?
Took a called strike three.
Tim, I will agree with you. I think that at some point the Mets just folded the cards and said, you know what? Not this decade. We'll get them sometime later.
Hey, Tim, want to know the worst thing about the Cubs? Is when they turned off when they turned on the lights at Wrigley Field. Mm. That was disgusting.
Baseball's never been the same.
I think disgusting is probably an overstatement.
I think you might be right, Tim.
but the reason I think if the Mets had made one more signing, it would have made a huge difference.
Okay, we talked about that. Let's go back to why the Cubbies put the lights on.
And that didn't happen until, 87?
Right, and by the way, the Statler Brothers, my favorite singing group.
Oh, boy.
The Statler Brothers have a song about I'll stop loving you when they turn the lights on at Wrigley Field. <That's funny. laughs> You could look it up.
It was a business decision because they have to get people to come in at night.
And watch it on TV.
Wrong. That's wrong.
And by Alan, I have somebody mentioned this is a sports show, so I won't. Maybe it's a subject for another time.
Okay.
But there's one of your callers mentioned the Beatles. I have a Sid Bernstein story to tell you at some other point.
Okay, one day I swear to you, Tim, we're gonna have the Sid Bernstein hour.
He's like one of the most charming people. He was the guy that booked the Beatles for Carnegie Hall and Shea Stadium.
Right.
And I met him about 3 years ago. But that's subject for another time.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. 1-800-348-2551. We're going to take another call right now. Judy from Westfield, Mass. Hey, Judy, thank you so much for calling. You're the third woman today, and that's great.
Okay, I have a follow-up to Debbie. I'm a Missourian from 90 miles outside.
Show me.
And I'm a loyal Cardinal fan, even in 2004 when they played the Red Sox, even though I live in Massachusetts.
Yeah, good for you. Stay strong.
And I think the Cardinals will have a good team because they still have a lot of good players. And what I would like to see sometime is another Yankees-Cardinal World Series. I'd love to see that.
You could get it. Okay. I mean, you look at the Cardinals lineup top to bottom, and at least their first six are formidable.
I know. They have so many good hitters, I just think that they'll do really well.
And they have Adam Wainwright coming back from surgery, too. So.
And Carpenter's day-to-day. And
he's got nerve damage or something.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see. It's a long season, but adding Beltran was a very nice move. Mm-hmm. He can still hit.
And I think Lance Berkman last year was just wonderful for them.
Turned back the clock like 10 years. And
well, why did the Mets lose Beltran?
They just didn't want to pay him. Again, the same reason they lost Reyes, they didn't want to pay him. The Wilpons are in contraction mode because, you know, they had to pay
Madoff.
The Madoff money. And frankly, they should have sold the team and done the right thing for all of us.
They've just
as
gotten
fans.
Out. And yeah. Their partner's name is Katz, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, Stan Katz, isn't that it?
I think it's Katz. But Judy, here's who I want to see in a World Series. The Yankees and the Dodgers.
Oh, okay.
Now, that would be one for the ages.
Well, that's been done.
It's been, but not in 30 years.
That's been done.
Yeah.
Thanks, Judy.
Okay.
I wanted
welcome.
It to happen during the Joe Torre Dodgers era, just because out of spite, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, but we'll take
close.
A short break, and then we're going to come back and talk to Hugh and Ed and a whole bunch of other people. 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from New York State Tobacco-Free Community Partners. Working to reduce youth and adult smoking rates across the state and help save lives, New York State Tobacco-Free Community Partners at smokefreecapital.org. Hill Dean, the Lincoln Family Home, Manchester, Vermont. Author, event, and book release, Saturday, April 7th, Giant in the Shadows, The Life of Robert T. Lincoln, hilldean.org. Steel Engineering and Consulting, Troy, New York. Addressing building problems through engineering investigations and architectural designs, steeleengineering.com. Bard College's Master of Arts in Teaching program, offering a one-year master's degree and teaching credentials, tuition scholarship and fellowship opportunities available, open house week April 2nd through 6th, bard.edu/MAT for information. And the American Hotel in Sharon Springs, New York, serving dinner Thursday through Sunday beginning at 5 p.m., on Sunday brunch from 8 to 2, and afternoon meals 11:30 to 4, AmericanHotelNY.com.
Okay, guys, who is the greatest Met who ever lived?
Tom Seaver.
Without question, right?
Yeah, right.
They were so stupid when they traded Ryan. My God. That was stupid.
Okay, he was a guy who threw 100 miles an hour, but he couldn't find the strike zone too well in 1971.
Yeah, but when he found it, it was great.
Well, he went on the next year and struck out 300. So,
obviously
that was the Mets for you.
Okay, I think Casey was probably the greatest Met who ever lived. He was great.
You know, Al Jackson, one of the original Mets pitchers, was on. They were interviewing him during the exhibition game last night. Yeah. He still looks great.
Yeah.
He pitched in 1962 for the
Mets.
Is he
still small? He was a small guy, right?
Yeah, he's not a big guy.
They tried him out after the interview?
Yeah, well, they said, you know, we're ready for you now.
Got some holes.
Let's go to Hugh in Lake Luzerne. Hugh, there you are. Go.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. I am probably the only Pirates fan among your listeners.
Yeah. You and Bing Crosby, he's up in heaven looking down on the Pirates.
I moved here in 2003. Yeah. I saw Roberto Clemente at Forbes Field catch a hot liner on the track in right field and throw the runner out at home.
Wow.
Mm. You know, so,
they say he has the best arm.
The Pirates aren't dumping salary anymore. They paid McCutcheon a fair amount. Dumit's solid at catcher. They were trying to build up the middle like you're supposed to do, and they surprised me by going out in free agency and getting AJ, which was kind of tragic.
Now, what do you think? Now, I think he could actually turn it around. I think there were some guys who just can't handle pitching in the Bronx, and I think that's one guy who you're going to be like, oh, wow, he won 15 games for us this year.
Well, he's enough to make me want to like sabermetrics because he looks good if you're a Billy Ball player.
Yeah. Well, I have no idea what the hell any of you are talking about. What do you mean sabermetrics,
well,
Billy Ball?
Well, my question for the experts here would be, can the Pirates break into a winning record?
Yes, I think last year they had a winning streak. They were above 500 well into the year. They've had, 18 losing seasons in a row? I think they are, as you say, when this whole luxury tax first came out and teams were pocketing the money, the Pirates were the worst defenders in baseball. But as that's over, as you say, they signed Andrew McCutchen. They've got a good shot. There's an extra playoff spot.
That's key.
That I think they are going to be in this race.
What do you mean there's an extra playoff spot?
They have added a wild card. Used to be four teams in each league, right, but now there's five. So the bottom two will play to get into the real playoffs.
Still won't help the Mets.
Well, but how many people are there in each league?
16 in the AL. Sorry,
so
16
five
in the
out
NL,
of the
16 14
get
in
the
AL.
Playoffs?
I'm sorry, what?
Five out of the 16 get into the playoffs?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yep. In the AL,
that's
there's 14.
Wrong.
Why? So it's like,
well, because it's like having two different seasons. Who do they think they're fooling? You know, I mean, either you have somebody win and then go on to the pennant. But what is all this five wild card, you know, a fifth wild card thing and all the rest of it? That's just wrong.
Okay. All right. You're a tradition, a purist.
Yeah,
if you
the
will.
Bob Costas route.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. He was against the wild card.
You mean there's something to what I said?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
astounding.
Sure.
Astounding.
Well, it used to be, you know, you play off and then you're in the World Series. But I think out of 30 teams, there's a lot of teams that turn in great years, and they want to reward that by giving some of those 90-win teams that get left out a shot.
Hey, you, what
one
are you?
Of those, one of those could be the Pirates.
I think so.
McCutchen had a very nice year last year, and, you know, he's ready for a breakout.
So hey, you, what do you think about Bing Crosby?
Nice.
Oh, I love him going my way and holding.
Yeah, but he owned the Pirates.
Yeah.
Well, that's all. That's all we have to talk about. Thank you.
I've got nothing wrong, nothing against him. I heard he was kind of an autocrat at home, but
yeah, we did.
I always
we
liked
heard
his
that.
Work.
Three of his kids wrote books or something like that. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
If it wasn't for Bing Crosby, we would not have footage of the Bill Mazeroski home run against the Yankees, which was recently found in his old boxes.
Really?
Yeah.
And it was a homer.
It sure was.
Yeah.
Well, was there ever a question that it was a homer?
Oh, yeah.
Ask Yogi Berra.
In the city, there was question.
Yogi said it wasn't, but it was ruled a homer?
No, I mean, the Yankees knew. It's just, it was such a random moment, this little light-hitting infielder hitting a game-winning home run to win the World Series.
Always underestimated Bill Mazeroski.
He never had to buy dinner in Pittsburgh after that.
Hey, KU, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go to Ed in Salt Point, New York. Ed, you're on.
Sure. Thanks for taking my call. Just a couple quick comments on earlier calls. I certainly appreciate the athleticism of Tom Seaver or one of the other Mets. But the guy who was the most important Mets player in their franchise history was Marv Thornberry, because he held the franchise together at a time when they needed some sort of focus. And in the Bill Mazeroski game, actually the most important play in that game was the ground ball that hit a pebble that Tony Kubek couldn't field, otherwise the game would have been over.
Them's the breaks.
But my real comment, first of all, I want to say I love sports, follow them all the time. But I was just thinking about the, and would ask for your comments, the parallel between sports and the political economy. The proletariats.
The proletariat.
Alan just woke up.
Proletariats built the game, built the sports, not just in baseball.
Yeah.
And now the 1% has snatched it away from
you
them.
Bet. You're so right.
And the 1% who their tickets are tax deductible because they buy them through their corporations, and then the owners get the tax deductions that we have to pick up, on our taxes. So, as I say, I love sports, but the sports world, the professional sports world, obviously, well, even the college sports world, has gone the direction that the rest of the economy has gone.
What does it
now,
mean?
I'll get off the phone.
No, no, no. Ed, I have a question for you. What does it mean when Ray Graff takes his necktie and holds it up as if he's being hung when you're speaking? Does that mean he doesn't agree with you?
No, I just think it's sports. You know, take it for what it is.
He's such a right-winger, Ray Graff.
No, just watch it and enjoy it, and it's your entertainment. It's not costing you anything, or don't, you know? That's the way I look at it.
I think Ed is absolutely right. The proletariat.
It's opening day. Let's not rain
screwed.
On the parade. It's opening
Thanks,
day.
Ed. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Alex in Kingston, the poor proletariat. Go ahead, Alex.
Hi, Alan.
Yeah, you're on.
I'm 82 years old.
Oh.
I've been a Mets fan since 1962.
Yeah,
I remember it from those days. I'm 70. I remember it. I remember my father watching the Mets games and watching Marvelous Marv and the balls going through his leg and Kid Crane Pool and all the rest of it and laughing so loud. It was just like a circus.
But before that,
yeah.
I was a New York baseball Giant fan.
Right. Oh,
and
Polo Grounds.
Right. I tried out for them in 1950.
Cool.
Whoa, you tried out?
Yes.
And what happened? You couldn't hit the curve?
I couldn't hit, you're right. But at the same time, Willie Mays trying out for the Giants.
Wow.
And he went to Trenton that year and burned it up. And, of course, the rest of it is history.
Did you talk to him?
I talked to him, but he wasn't allowed to sleep on the base in those days in Sanford, Florida. So he had to go out to Arizona where the parent team was.
Did you ever talk to Leo DeRocher?
No. Carl Hubbell.
Nice.
Mel Ott, all those guys.
Wow.
But not Leo?
No, Leo wasn't with them then.
Wait a second. Leo's the guy who brought up Willie, isn't he?
Well, he brought him up, but he was just a manager.
Right.
And the other guys had been with the Giant organization for, you know, forever. Carl Hubbell ran the farm system. And he was an interesting guy. He had a crooked arm from throwing so many screwballs.
Wow. Yeah. Did you ever talk to Lorraine Day? She was married to Leo DeRocher.
That's right.
That's
and
right.
She would go on the radio and TV with him, and they were a funny-looking couple. She was beautiful, and he was about as ugly as you can be. Yeah.
Who was the fat guy who did the pregame show for the Giants? Wasn't there some not gang or not something?
No, that was the Dodgers.
Yeah, that was the Dodgers.
That was Happy Felton. Happy Felton was the guy.
Happy
that did
Felton.
It.
Hey, Alex, thanks for the great call. Appreciate it. Nice catching
up.
Okay. Let's go to Jill in Waterford. Jill, you're on.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Hey.
I figured I'd make Alan's day and be a woman calling on sports.
You know, like number five or six, something like that.
Not that there's a quota, Jill, but thank
you.
No,
that's great.
I know. However, I have to disappoint you in that I can't stand baseball.
All right.
Unfortunately, for different reasons than the first lady that called.
How come? Let's get right to it.
Well, I think the games are way too long because there's no clock, and it's just boring.
Let me tell you something.
One, two, three, you're out.
Let me tell you something. I wrote a doctoral dissertation while watching the Mets. You know,
the whole thing.
It was beautiful. There is a certain elegant timing.
Yes,
to
there
the
is
whole
a rhythm
thing.
To it.
In other words, nothing happens, and you get click. And then you look up. If you look up one second too late, you know,
but
there's
Jill,
still nothing happening.
Yeah, well,
but Jill, not so much now, but back in when I was a kid, early 70s, mid 70s, you know, baseball was about pitching. And so if there was a 0-0 game into the 10th, you saw a great game. Seriously, you know, if you really appreciated the Tom Seavers, the Bob Gibsons, you know, Sandy Koufax, some of these people who could just bring it and pitching.
And believe it or not, I did go to a Mets baseball game when I was a kid. My dad took the family on a...
I went to one... Jill, enough about you. I went to... I went to a Mets game. I was brought there by my friend Peter and our other friend Elliot the Communist. And we went to the Mets game. It was 13 innings!
That's great.
13 innings it went on. I finally said, the hell with you guys. I left and I went on the subway.
The Communist got his money's worth.
What? I saw a game that went into like 15, 16 innings. It was like 4.5 hours, 5 hours
and
long.
And you stayed?
No, I wasn't at the game.
Oh,
I
see.
It was on television, and I was waiting for some program to come on, and it never came on.
Yeah, waiting for Gunsmoke.
Just about. Hey, but at any rate.
Jill, thanks for the great call. Appreciate it.
By the way, was Peter a Reds fan?
Peter a Reds fan? That's very funny. Okay, let's go to Jim in Beacon. Okay, Jim, go ahead.
Hi, Alan. I like the show. Question for you. I'm a diehard Red Sox fan. My two young daughters are becoming Yankee fans.
Well done.
No.
Right.
Parents of the year.
Household. My wife's like, well, it's not we. You're not part of the team. So she doesn't quite get it. But, you know, I understand that part.
No, but you're right. Because in my house, I was always sort of a Mets fan. And then when my kids grew up in Great Barrington, you know, it was perfidy. So you had to be a Red Sox fan just because you didn't want to send your kids to an analyst.
Well, that's what my wife says. She's like, well, we're in Yankee territory. They have to be Yankee fans. And it hurts to my core. Yeah. My question is, if they become Yankee fans, am I allowed to take away their dessert?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, because I got to turn this around somehow.
Yeah, no, you are absolutely allowed to, and tell them they're out of the will.
Well, let me understand what that is. I will certainly bring that up. Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Okay. And let's go to Brian in Middletown. Hey, Brian, do they like baseball down there in Middletown?
You know, there's a lot of baseball fans here. Unfortunately, I can't count myself as one of them. I'm much more of a football fan. So at this time of year, I always think of it as the summer of my discontent.
Yep.
I'm right with you.
Now, the thing is, I do love the minor league ball. They have a team over in Fishkill, which is about a 45 minutes drive from here, a single A ball team of the Rays. And that's a lot of fun, but watching it on the TV, I can't do it.
Big flat screen, the big 46-inch flat screen, it's phenomenal.
You can look at the pores in their faces.
There's too much yapping in between pitches
by
the analysts.
Listen to WAMC and watch the game.
Did you hear what Ray just said? Turn the sound down.
That's a good point. But, you know, what prompted me to call was actually Ray's comment about how, in response to the proletariat call earlier.
Oh, the proletariat!
He said it's not costing you anything. But that reminded me of the fact that a lot of the venues are paid for by public dollars.
But then
Mark's wound up going into private pockets. Great revenue generators as far as economic activity, except for very few people. And, there's a lot of seasonal, low-paying jobs.
Including the new Marlins Stadium, which has not been the most popular with Florida taxpayers.
Yeah, I really think that I'd have a lot less problem with pro sports if the owners didn't expect the public to pick up the tab on their venues.
Yeah. You're exactly right. The proletariat always gets screwed. Thank you, Brian.
But wait a minute. Hold it. Just wait a moment.
Okay, go ahead.
If we go with your proletariat getting screwed thesis, you have it backwards. Because if our taxes are going to pay for the new stadium, the proletariat is enjoying this. This is bread and circuses.
Are you out of your mind? Your taxes are going to pay for some rich man to get richer.
Ah, nuts.
Everybody knows that, right, Brian?
Well, I don't see how I'm getting any richer.
Only emotionally and spiritually, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
As long as I subject myself to their advertising.
Excellent call, Brian.
You never know when you're going to get a free home run game.
See you, man. Yeah.
Let's go to Jack in Glenville. Okay, Jack in Glenville, you're on.
Hi there, Alan and company. Boy, this is a great program. I have an unusual thing. You've got about a half a dozen women have called in, I understand,
right.
Alan?
Yeah.
We ring a bell every time.
And don't worry, Jack, I got my hand on the red button just in case you say something really bad.
It's a league of their own.
No. No, I am a husband. Who has to stand aside because my wife is such a huge baseball fan.
Thank you, Jack.
What does she think about all that spinning and grabbing?
All right.
She does not like it. She really does not.
Right.
Especially when Tito used to spit out the seeds of skins or whatever the hell he was eating.
Yeah. Jack, thank you for bringing this up.
It was confusing. It was pink.
It is an incredibly sexist assumption to make that women do not like sports. And Jack, thank you for backing up what I was about to say is that, you know, don't be surprised when women call in and like sports. They love sports. My wife loves. She watches every Giants game with me. She watches every Mets game with me. Women like sports too, Alan.
Well, I think a lot of women appreciate the competition, and a caller said the last woman talked about being bored because of like a 0-0 game and it kept going on. And you made a very good point. Ray Graff, is it?
Yeah.
You are an amazing.
He's hot. He's also a right winger.
Baseball.
You know what?
God, I didn't realize you knew so much.
And what about Ian? Ian can tell you everybody who in 1956 struck out. What are you talking about? Hey, thank you, Jack. Appreciate it. Okay. Let's see. Number four is Emily in Oneonta. Emily in Oneonta, go.
Yeah, I also wanted to comment on the woman who was complaining about games being too long and boring. And, I agree with Ray. You see a nothing game going into extra innings. And
yeah.
No, that's the most exciting thing I can imagine.
Thank you.
And you wait for the no-hitter, and you wait for the guys to jump on each other.
I mean, you live for that.
Not really.
The one thing baseball has over the basketball, you watch college basketball, great sport, The ending, it's all fouls. The clock stops. Baseball, you can't milk that clock. You have to get everybody out to win.
And every single play matters. Every single pitch, every single at bat is significant, you know, and you don't get that in other sports. I didn't care about baseball until I met my husband. He's the one who taught me how to watch the game 10 years ago, and first thing he told me is don't watch the batter, watch the pitcher, because that's the most important thing in the game. And that, you know, I've kept that in my mind ever since, and you enjoy the game so much more.
Wait, pitching. I don't get that. What about the wrist action from the batter? The wrist action.
Emily's point is perfect, because think about one of the greatest moments in all of sports, and that's Don Larsen's perfect game in the World Series.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get more pressure than that, and he pitched a perfect game, and that's a team achievement.
My point is just, if you're standing there waiting for the big hits, you are going to be bored. But if you can learn to watch pitchers pitch, and that's the way
It's very zen. That's the whole point.
Much more interesting.
I like it, Emily.
More interesting game.
You
could be doing yoga during that time. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you.
And on that happy note.
We're almost done.
Yeah, that's
it. Let's see. I'm looking
bottom
for
the of the ninth.
I'm looking for the right page. Okay. We are just about out of time. But I want to thank everyone who called in and apologized to no one who was not left on the line. Thanks to Ray Graff and Ian Pickus for stepping up to the plate today.
Thank you.
Underwriting support for the Vox Pop comes from HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting Neil Simon's Rumors, weekends April 20th through May 6th in the Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org, Joyelle's Jewelers, Del Mar, New York, specializing in custom jewelry and repair, laser welding, designer jewelry and gifts, joyellsjewelers.com, and the Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, celebrating 30 years of educating children and striving to inspire a lifelong love of learning, WaldorfSaratoga.org. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop today. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Colleen.
Colleen O'Connell,
yeah. And our producer is Patrick Donges. I'm Alan Chartok, and I want to advise you all to stay tuned now for, as it comes up in any second now,
right.
As it comes up, to stay tuned now for a
news update.
News update.